This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is July 20th, 1981. The interview is taking place in the home of Nils Hogstrom in Tacoma and is being conducted by Maureen Nesvig. What is your full name, please?
Well, Nils Arvid Hegstrom.
Okay. And when were you born, Mr. Hegstrom?
August 31st. 1905.
1905?
Yeah.
And where were you born?
Well, in Nyland Cedarfield.
Nyland, okay, now you're going to have to, can you spell that for me? This is in Sweden, correct?
Yeah, Nyland is N-Y-L-A-N-D.
Uh-huh.
And Cedarfield is S-I-N-D-S-J-E, would that be O with two dots above?
Okay. Now, is what is Nyland? Is Nyland a village or a town?
It's something that's like a small community, and Sedensjö would be bigger. That's a bigger community. That's divided into different localities.
So that might be more like a county.
Township.
Township, I see. Now, what part of Sweden was this?
Oh, it was in Ångermanland. That would be, you talked about Örnsköldsvik, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's, Örnsköldsvik is a big city. Not too big. It isn't as big as Stockholm or Sundsvall or any of them.
Uh-huh.
It's a smaller city.
What part of Sweden would you say this is?
Well, that would be, I would say, well,
up in the northern part, central?
Yeah, more or less in the northern, or maybe possibly a little about in the middle of Sweden.
Uh-huh. And it is not, is it a coastal area or is it inland?
Yeah, the Örnsköldsvik, what I'm talking about, that's on the coast. But I lived on the inn, on the farming country.
And Nyland was a farming community.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Nyland, what you remember about it. What kind of place was it?
Well, of course, I have so little memory about that because, you see, I didn't work there. I worked for the farmers.
Mm-hmm. Did you work for the farmers there?
No, one summer in Nyland.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the time I worked there, come out of a word called Trelleborg.
What's that now?
Yeah, and then I worked for a farmer there. His name was Johan Byström. And that place was also called Nyland, Trelleborg.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work did you do there?
Farm work.
Farm work? what kind of work would you do on the farm?
Well, anything included in farming.
Uh-huh.
Even shoe horses if they need new shoes.
How old were you when you started to work on the farms that way?
I was confirmed when I was 13 and a half.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't raised at home because my mother died when I was five. So I stayed with my older sister till I was 13. And then I went home and I was confirmed in the community church where I was born.
And then you went to work after that. Okay, let's go back and talk about your parents then. May I have your father's name and your mother's name?
Well, my mother's name was Margaret, you mean the maiden name?
Yeah, her maiden name.
Margaret Westman.
Westman?
Yeah.
Was that just like it sounds? How would that be spelled? Do you know?
Yeah, Westman is W-E-S-T-A-N.
And then your father's name?
Yeah, his name was Olof Hegstrom.
Olof Hegstrom. Okay. What was your father's occupation?
Well, I would say nothing. To be true, he didn't do hardly anything. He wasn't active like I am.
Mm-hmm.
He had a farm there, but he wasn't very active.
Okay. And then you say that your mother died when you were young.
Five.
And you went to live with an older sister. Now, you came from a large family, you say.
Yeah.
How many were there again?
17.
17. I would ask, can you give the names of some of your brothers and sisters, or do you remember all of those?
Well, of course, the oldest one, her name was Martha. The next one, that was a boy, his name was Olaf. And the other one, her name was Margaret. And then I had another brother, his name was Jonas Hegstrom. And then I had one by name of Johan Hegstrom. That was with the first marriage, of course.
Now, how was his name, Johan?
Johan.
Johan, okay.
Yeah.
That was from your father's marriage to your mother.
Yeah, and that's what with the first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a sister by name of Stina, Christine. She's still alive. Mm-hmm. She's the only one alive for the first marriage besides mm-hmm. me.
And she lives in Sweden still today?
Oh, yeah, she's in Sweden.
And so then you had brothers and sisters from your father's second marriage,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and the oldest brother is here. His name is Bror Hexton.
Do you remember anything about your grandparents, Mr. Hexton?
No, I never saw either one. But I had an uncle. I had three uncles, I believe. And I only saw, I believe I only saw one of them.
That would have been your father's
brother? Yeah, my father's brother.
Uh-huh. And you remember him a little
yeah.
bit. Were your grandparents from another part of Sweden, do you think?
No, they were evidently in the vicinity, but I never knew where they lived, so I didn't get in contact. Except my mother's sister, I met her. That's the only one out there.
Okay. Now, do you know anything about your family name, Hegstrom? Does that have a meaning in Swedish? Or
well, that's a long story.
What do you tell me about
it? Do you know what the Chokkjära tree is?
No.
The Chokkjära?
No. You tell
well, they have a small berry, a black berry, and that tree was planted by a kind of a, what you call a stream or a
river or something?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's why the name came Hegstrom.
Now, how did Hegstrom come from that?
Yeah, because of that Chokkjära tree, that was called Heg.
Oh.
And then the river, that's a stream, you
yes,
know,
uh-huh.
and was planted alongside it.
Oh, Hegstrom. Well, were there a lot of those kinds of berries in the area where you came from then?
Oh, billions of them.
Really?
They were good, too.
Did many people have that same name, Hegstrom? Was that a common name?
Well, I wouldn't see that there's... it's a few, of course, but not as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. And so your name has stayed the same since your immigration
yeah.
to the United States. You never changed it. Well, Mr. Hegstrom, how did it happen that you came to the United States? Why don't you go back to Sweden, and what was happening that led you to this country?
It was through my brothers.
Mm-hmm. Did you know somebody here before you came?
I had two brothers.
Two brothers came over here? Do you want to stop for a minute?
Huh?
Do you want to stop for a minute?
No, that's so good.
Okay.
But I had, three brothers here.
Uh-huh. They came before.
Yeah, they were here first.
Uh-huh. Why did they leave, do you think? Why did they come to America?
That's a question that's pretty hard to answer.
Uh-huh.
There were so many Swedes and Scandinavians that left.
Oh.
The first thing it was unemployment.
Yeah.
And Sweden at that time was a capitalistic nation. And my dad told me that someday people is going to be equal all over Sweden, mm-hmm. Norway, Denmark, so they turned socialist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why today the people is better off.
Yeah.
Have socialized medicine, it don't cost a penny. You can go to the doctor any time you want. Like Kenny, he went to Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't cost anything for medical.
But when you were young now, things were different.
Yeah.
It was harder.
It was harder.
So you had brothers who came. Now, did they come to the Tacoma area here?
Yeah, they all came to Tacoma.
Uh-huh. Did they know other people in your community around there, around Neyland? Were other people from Neyland coming to Tacoma? Is that how they learned about it? Or?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I had some other friends, of course, that came from the same mm-hmm. place. They came over too, but of course they're dead now.
Mm-hmm. So, now what year did you come? Mr. Hengstrom.
In July 1923.
July 1923. And you would have been how? You would have been about 18 years
Not
old?
Not quite 18.
Not quite 18. You were 17 years old.
Well, I was if I would have come August 31st,
right.
I would have been
You were
18.
Almost 18, uh-huh. So, your brothers came before you.
Yeah.
And then how did you decide? Did they write you letters, or how did you decide to come?
No, I don't recall that mm-hmm. they ever wrote anything. I told them.
did you buy your own ticket, or did somebody send you money?
No, I borrowed that money from farmers in Sweden.
Okay. Why don't you tell a little bit about that?
Yeah. I needed 1,000 crowns, so each one put up either 100 crown or the sign of paper. And one fella by the name of Bystrom, he put up the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I had been here for a while, one died. So then they wanted, this guy wrote and wanted me to send at least 100 crowns back, so I did.
Mm-hmm.
But then I owed the rest of it, and I the wages were small here too, then, 35 cents an hour. So then I got hurt in the logging camp, and then I received, I was in the hospital for 3 months, and then I got $300 settlement from the state.
Mm-hmm.
So then I paid up the whole thing.
So you didn't have to, you paid it all back eventually.
Oh yeah, I paid.
Now, what do you remember about your trip over? Here you are up in Neyland in Sweden, and
well,
tell me what you remember about the trip. Where did you?
Oh, well, of course, I took the train to Gothenburg.
Mm-hmm.
That's a coastal city.
Yeah.
And then from there on, I took a smaller boat to England. I think it landed in Southampton or England.
Mm-hmm. Were you traveling by yourself?
Oh, yeah.
All by yourself?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, from Southampton, England, then it was a bigger ship that went over the ocean, and that's where I got seasick.
You did. What was that trip like?
Tough.
Bad?
Yeah.
Was it stormy weather?
Oh, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The big ships, you know, I was so scared of them.
It was scary for you?
Yeah.
Were there other Swedish people or Norwegian people on the ship?
Oh, say, every nation from that country was on the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly boys, young girls, they all got seasick.
How long did that voyage take?
Well, I left home, I believe it was the 15th of July, and I came to the United States right in Tacoma, Washington in August.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it was over 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Just going across the Atlantic Ocean, though, how long did that take?
Well, of course, that could have been possible 10, 11 days on the last boat.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first one between Sweden and England didn't take more than about think of these.
Yeah. Did you do you remember anything about the way you felt when you left Sweden? Did you have any feelings about leaving Sweden?
No.
That you remember?
No.
Did you did you have any idea what you expected America to be like?
No.
So you landed in which city did you land in when you got to America?
Halifax.
Halifax in Canada.
Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And in Halifax, I met the Norwegian boy, and he worked on the railroad. So I went with him to Vancouver, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about that trip across Canada?
That's when I tipped over.
The train you were riding on?
Yeah.
When? How did that happen?
We went through a swamp.
Mm-hmm. Wait, tell me about that accident, what you remember about that.
Well, where I put the luggage, I was sleeping up there.
Mm-hmm.
And all I remember, I fell down, mm-hmm. but I didn't get hurt.
Did you have to wait for the train to go on?
Oh, yeah, we had to wait 3 or 4 days till they were able to go on.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts in Canada was that accident? Do you remember?
Oh, I haven't got the slightest idea.
So you came into Vancouver then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about Canada when you first arrived there?
It was beautiful. There was a tremendous lot of Indians. And you could see the tail end of the train going up the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed that trip. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any problems because of the language difference that you spoke Swedish? Did that cause you any problems?
No, it has never in all my life.
Never caused a problem?
No.
Did you find other people who could understand you along the way? Or?
Well, you can hear I still have that accent.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get away from that, but as far as otherwise, I got along fine. I came on a Sunday afternoon, and I went to work on a Monday morning.
Well, that was fast, wasn't it? So you came to Vancouver, and then you needed to get to Tacoma, into the United States?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you get down here to Tacoma?
Well, that Norwegian boy here, I stayed with him at the hotel overnight, and he took me out for breakfast and dinner, and he paid the bill.
Uh-huh. And so you came to Tacoma, and did you have people waiting here for you?
Well, I had my brother's address, but they weren't home. So I landed on, where that Union Station is on Pacific Avenue?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a Norwegian in there, and he asked me in Norwegian where I was going. So then he said he would pay for the taxi to that address.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no one home. So that was easy. Then I happened to, another brother of mine, he happened to come. So then I stayed there till I got a hold of my other brother that I stayed with.
And which part of Tacoma did you stay in then? Was it a Swedish community, would you say?
Well, I would say it was mostly all immigrants. There was hardly much difference between Polish and German and Swiss and Italians. And
mm-hmm.
When I came over, you worked in the sawmill, I would say over 70% were immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
There was no problem with getting work.
Nope, okay. Now you said before you came on a Sunday and you went to work on a Monday morning.
Yeah.
Did your brothers take you down to the mill? They did. Same place where they worked?
Yeah.
Is that where you went? What kind of work did you do when you first started?
Lumber, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no experience in that from Sweden. I was working on the farm. Mm-hmm. But I made it fine in it.
Mm-hmm. But did you enjoy the work or?
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you remember how much you got paid in those days? Did you think, was it very
good? I started out with 40 cents an hour.
40 cents an hour.
Yeah.
And then tell me a little bit about your life. What happened? How long did you work in the mill and well, leading up to your accident and so on? Just tell
Well, of course, I was one of them guys that was active and I wanted to make more money. That's why I went out in the woods.
You could make more money in the woods?
Oh, yes, quite a bit more.
Now, first of all, how long did you stay at the mill in Tacoma?
Well, I don't believe it was more than approximately 3 months.
Okay. Do you remember the name of which mill that was?
Oh, yeah, St. Paul and Tacoma Lumber Company. Mm-hmm. Now they call it the St. Regis.
Okay. And you left that to go up in the woods. What was it like when you went up in the woods?
Oh, fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereabouts did you go?
A Cascade Timber Company in Alder, Washington.
Alder. Uh-huh. What kind of work did you do up there then?
Well, I started out as a flunky in the boarding house. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I liked that too, but the pay was rotten. So I asked the foreman, I said, is it in a possible way that I could make some more money? Yeah.
Now, what were you doing then? What were you, you said you were doing something?
A flunky, wait on the table.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
In the dining room. So then I told him, he said, well, he said, you have you had any experience in the woods? No, I said, I know how to buck a little, but, so he said, well, he said, how would you like to break in to load railroad cars? And at that time, the logs were, well, you know what diameter is, don't you?
Yes.
If a log was on the 3 feet in diameter or below, they wouldn't hardly take them. So the most of the logs were 7, 6, 7, and 8 to 10 feet in diameter. And then, of course, they had great big tongs. So then they had the head loader, of course. He ran what they called a duplex. And he stood there and gave you a sign what log to pick up. And them tongs were so ungodly heavy. So it was the 14th of December before Christmas. It was the last log for that particular. And one that run the duplex, he was kind of crabby. Mm-hmm. And of course I went up there and unhooked the tongue. I had put the tongs on myself. There had to be two tongs, what you call it.
Okay,
the one in the front and one in the back.
You put the tongs around these big logs. And then some machinery lifts that up onto the train?
Yeah, they lift that up on the railroad car.
Okay.
So I had no more than got up there, and he was so excited, so he jerked the tongue before I had it off, and then it hit me in the head.
Oh, the tongue lifted you, hit you. Mm-hmm. Did that knock you out, or?
Knock me out. I landed in the... Of course, the ambulance took me to the hospital. I didn't know anything.
Uh-huh. You were unconscious the whole time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Not too long, though, maybe about 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Now, how you say an ambulance took you back down to... Where did you go to the hospital? Which city?
I went to the Eatonville Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know where Eatonville is at? Yeah.
Up in toward Mount Rainier, yeah. So you were badly... Tell me about your injury. Were you badly injured or...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That hit your head or your eye or...
Yeah, just underneath here and ripped. You can see that mark yet.
Uh-huh. So how long did your recovery...
Well, It was 3 months.
In the hospital?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you said you got some sort of settlement for that.
Yeah, 300.
From the state?
Or? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, I got $35 a month. So I stayed in the Eatonville Hospital after I got better, me and two or three other boys in the basement. Then we got free board and room.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think it was quite common for people to get injured in the lodging
camps? Something awful. I believe that they would average maybe one or two every month that got killed instantly.
How would that happen?
Well, of course, it was high speed. And, you know, the fallers, you know, them trees maybe were 150 to 200 feet tall, and maybe it was some rotten limb or something that came down, and if they got hit with them, they died instantly, of course.
Mm-hmm. So what happened to you after you recovered from your accident? What did you do then?
Yeah, then I went back to Tacoma.
Mm-hmm. Did you decided that you didn't want to work in the camp?
No more.
No more, huh? And what happened back in Tacoma then?
Yeah, then I went to work for not the sawmill, but the plywood plant.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the name of that?
Oh, Lyle Plywood.
Lyle Plywood.
Yeah.
And how did your life go after that? What kinds of things were going on with?
Well, of course, I was put high up there, so I got good pay.
How did you learn English, Mr. Hagstrom? You're coming over here. You're working in the mill and working in the camps. Did you speak Swedish with a lot of people, or
no?
How did you start to speak English? Was it hard?
Yeah, my brother told me to speak English even if it was spelled.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I first, because this was before the accident, when I started, I told you on a Monday,
mm-hmm.
He said, after you come home from work, he worked with me, we're going to stop at the immigration office and you take out your what you call the first paper, the intention to become a citizen.
Mm-hmm. So did you do that then?
Oh yeah.
So you took, how long was it before you became a citizen then?
5 years.
Five years?
Had to wait 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was easy.
That was easy?
Oh.
What did you have to do to get to be a citizen?
Well, I had to have two witnesses. So I had one Swedish born and one American born.
Did you have to learn any special things about the United States or answer any special questions?
Well, of course, you have to use your own mind. I knew a little bit about the Constitution, so I didn't have no problem there.
Mm-hmm. When you were living back in Tacoma, what kinds of people did you associate with? Did you stay with other Swedes and Scandinavians, do you think, or... Who were your friends? Did you stay?
I would say about half and half Americans. I think it was more on the American side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was it like for a Swedish man, young man, to come to Tacoma? Do you think it was? Was it easy to get along? Or
yeah,
it was. You could fit right in right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever belong to any of the clubs, the Swedish clubs?
Oh, yeah.
Tell about that a little
Well,
bit.
I belong to the Swedish Order of Valhalla.
Valhalla? Uh-huh. Did you join that when you were young?
Yeah. And the Swedish Order of Warsaw.
Mm-hmm.
We both belong to that.
What kinds of things did you do? What activities did those clubs have?
Well, of course, they talk Swedish at first, and then they changed over to Americans, so can they belong too?
Mm-hmm. Your grandson belongs now. Do you still belong to Vasa and Valhalla?
Oh, yeah.
Do you go to the meetings still?
No, I don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Except me and Kenny go once a year to breakfast.
What time of year is that? Is that a special Christmas breakfast? Or
no, it's... yearly doing. I think it's in November.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was the best thing about coming to America for you when you got here? What was the most exciting or the best part of that?
I can't answer that.
Mm-hmm. You bought your car.
It was a car. I bought the first car. I never drove the car in all my life. Then this, you didn't have to have driver's license, but you had to have liability. No, collision. Liability didn't care about that, but I borrowed the money from a loan company. So my brother went with me on the Saturday night, and I bought a 1926 Ford Roadster. So I had a...
What year did you buy that? Do you remember?
In 1926.
Okay.
I had a girlfriend in Olympia. So I rented a garage from a neighbor where my brother lived in. It was a telephone pole. It wasn't overhead doors, it was sliding doors, but the car didn't have no bumpers. So I went over there, very nice old person, he wasn't Swedish, and the garage was only $3 a month. So my brother, his name was Joe, he went with me and he drove the car home and drove it in the garage. So then I got up 4 o'clock in the morning and I went over myself. I had to go to Olympia. Mm-hmm. And I hit that pole and curled up the back fender. So then I went, the old man came out and I said, nothing is hurt. So I got my brother to help me straighten out the fender. He said, are you crazy to go to Olympia? Well, of course I'm going to Olympia. So it was a patrolman by the name of Mike Wino. Very, very nice guy. And he stopped me and asked me how come I drove with two wheels on the outside of the pavement. It was only a narrow road. Well, I said, it's the first time I drove. There was no asking about the driver's license. Well, he said, I thought it was funny. But I made it. I stayed there then till 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then I went home. So I have driven ever since without a single accident. I had the same insurance company for 45 years.
And that day that you bought that car was the first time you had
that
driven?
That was the first.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how much your car cost?
$350. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But of course, I had several cars after that.
Did you stay with the plywood company now for quite a while?
For 37 years.
What kind of work did you do for them?
Well, I took everything but piecework.
Uh-huh.
And then I was sort of a foreman on top of that.
How did you meet your wife, and why don't you tell a little bit about that? You were living here in Tacoma? And
we met in a housewarming party.
Uh-huh.
First time I saw him, all the young girls thought he was real handsome and they always bragged about it. I was only about 13, 14 years old at that time. And then he wanted to dance with me and I danced with him and he wanted to take me home and I refused. And he asked my dad if he could take me home. My dad said that was all right. But I didn't see him again until I was 16. Then we started moving.
Mm-hmm. So what year were you married then? 1933, and did you set up a house here in Tacoma, or
he had already bought a house. house across the street from where I lived, a little
shack. It was just a little bit of a place, but then...
Now, which part of Tacoma was this?
On 25th and South Cushman, up on
the hilltop. On the hilltop.
25th and South Cushman.
Yeah.
Were there other Scandinavian people in that area?
Oh, yes.
All around.
Yeah.
So by this time you were speaking English. You spoke English with your
Well, of course, we I tried to talk English as much as I could.
Mm-hmm. We didn't. When Scandinavian people came to visit us, we didn't allow them to talk Swedish, talk English, because we always had friends that didn't understand Swedish. So we made it a rule. My mother and dad talked English too.
And
so it was very little Swedish.
What was your maiden name, Mrs.
Larsen?
And your father was Swedish, you say, but your mother Norwegian.
Uh-huh.
And what's your first name?
Violet.
Violet. You were Violet Larsen. Born in Tacoma?
Yes.
Yeah. Waller Road, you said. Okay. So how many children do you have then?
Just one.
One son or daughter?
Daughter.
What's her name?
Bernice.
Bernice. And then Bernice has children?
Yes, two.
And what are their names?
Yeah, Kenneth and Kathy.
Okay.
And Kathy is in France now.
What is Bernice's occupation?
She works at the Pacific Lutheran College.
What does she do there?
Well,
nursing.
Mm-hmm. Now, has your daughter been interested in her Swedish background? Has she?
Well, lately, when she was young, she got mad at me because I talked Swedish. And then, of course, when I sent Kenneth to Sweden, it was a different story because he's smart. And I never did, when I went to school, a little I went to school, I never had to read a book. It came naturally to me and him the same way.
Mm-hmm. How old is your grandson, Ken, now?
Well, he was just 21, uh-huh. The 17th of July.
Now, you say that you have not been back to Sweden in your life at
no.
all. But your grandson went back. Now, why do you think he wanted to go over there?
He wanted to go to school, Uppsala College, University.
University.
Uh-huh. Do you think that he's interested in Sweden because you are Swedish?
Yes, he liked it very much. He learned Norwegian in Germany. And he took Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much interested.
Well, in other words, I thought it was more suitable than I go. I'm too old.
And you thought it was good for him to go?
Yeah.
Did he go visit your family home? Did he go to Nyland? Did he see your sister, who is...
All of
them. He saw all your family over there? Yeah. So, as you were raising your family and living here in Tacoma after you were married, did you try to keep a Swedish culture in your home? For example, did you celebrate Christmas in a special
way? Yeah.
Can you tell a little bit about that? Or what kinds of things would you do?
We always had Christmas Eve, big dinner, and open the presents Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
That was our big celebration.
And sing Christmas songs in Swedish.
You did.
And we get a whole family.
You included members from both your families. Uh-huh. Now your brothers married here and had families too.
Yeah.
So
the only difference is my brothers are dead except my half brother.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of traditional foods would you serve?
Oh, we always had turkey, and then we had
Karsilta, that's wheel, and you grind it up, and then that makes some. You cut it then.
My mother made fondue and those cookies, you know, spritz, and she quite a good cook and a good baker, and she always made the buns and donuts and all the goodies.
Yeah. Did you ever belong to a church?
Yeah.
The
Assembly of God.
Mm-hmm. Did you attend down through the years?
We were the minister married us.
Now, ordinarily, that you would the Swedish people might be Lutheran. Did you get involved? You did not get involved in the Lutheran Church.
Well, I was confirmed in the Lutheran Church.
Bernice and Kenny and Kathy are all confirmed in the Lutheran Church. The Good Shepherd Church down here, and they go regular.
Yeah, I have to tell you another story. When I retired, of course, I didn't understand, you know, what papers to have. And so they asked me that they wanted my birth certificate. I had a passport. They wouldn't accept. So then the minister, of course, that I had when I was confirmed, he was dead. And so I asked my brother if they possibly knew the name of the minister that community where I came from, so I could write to him. So I wrote to him, and I wanted several copies I had to give to the Social Security, to my union pension, and so forth. So on. I sent for 4 copies, but he was not Swedish though. The minister, of course, he could talk Swedish and write Swedish. So I sent them 10 American dollars in the envelope. And he sent me them copies, and he said, in Sweden, we're not allowed to charge for any work of any kind because the government pay for that. So he said, I give that to the church.
But this was the records in the church. They kept them all these years.
And so you got the records that you needed back from your contract.
So then I sent $10 more to him.
That's a picture of his home.
Yeah, this is your this is your family home in Nyland?
Yeah.
And that's... Now, how did you bring that with you? How did you get that?
Yeah, my brother brought it when he came. He bought my dad's place.
Uh-huh. Your brother went back?
Yes.
No, no.
Ethel and Carl went back, and they brought that back with them.
Oh, did they?
Yes. And that's hand-painted on a trough. They call it a trough. It's a thing that they
used to put cream in it and rake off the cream. Put the milk in it.
It's called a trog?
I can't pronounce it right.
But what did you say? You said
trog.
Trog.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's painted on that.
Yeah, you know, it's just like they had big ones that they made, put them.
What other pictures do you have up here from, are there any other Swedish type pictures up here on your wall?
No, that's my sister's
and
brother's.
This is a sister that's alive. This is his confirmation. He was 70 last year, and one sister sent this card from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this sister.
Yeah, that's a sister that made it possible for my half-sister to come here. We inherited some money.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I gave that.
The tape is just about over on this side. I'm going to turn it over, and we'll continue. Just a moment. So this is the family home painted on the cream bowl.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Kenny visited this home, and it faces a lake. And is this tree, did Kenny say this tree was still standing?
Yeah, that's a birch tree.
Yeah.
A big birch tree, huh?
Yeah.
So,
it must be a couple thousand years old, like, with that many.
Uh-huh. Now, who lives on the family place today?
Well, I
his
don't
half-brother
know.
His half-brother Burr and his wife lived in it, and they sold it to when they came to this country, and they've been here how many years?
Well, nevertheless, we bought it. His name was Hegstrom, too. He was a cousin.
So there are still Hagstroms there on the family place.
Yeah.
So you have contact now still with people in Sweden. You still do you write back and
well,
forth?
Well, I don't write hardly anything. I hardly ever wrote years ago. I wrote them to my youngest sister, but she's dead too.
We just got this letter from Sweden from his other half-sister.
She can't read that.
Uh-huh. So you're writing, but you feel like there's a contact with your...
Well, these people had come to visit 3 years ago, so...
No, she made it... The sister that was rich, that she made it possible. So I did.
He got an inheritance of...
Me and my brother, we give...
To that sister.
Well, I didn't give it all. I gave half, and then I gave a quarter to my youngest sister's boy, and then I gave the quarter to one of the oldest sister that's still alive.
And so this your half-sister visited you here three years ago?
You know, it must be that.
3 years.
What was that visit like? Was that...
Very pleasant. She just sent me this letter that she remembered what a nice time they had, would like to make another trip.
Yeah, she can talk English and write English, too.
Uh-huh. What's her name?
Valborg. What was it? Kissinger or not? The last name?
Oh, it's on there.
Oh, you got.
I can't think of her last name. It's Walker.
Ellingson. Yeah.
Uh huh. And when she came here, did you speak Swedish with her, Mr. Hagstrom? Uh huh. And you can still speak Swedish, just the same. Mhm. So.
That was a nice visit. Mhm. They told us things in Sweden.
They told you what Sweden is like today, and
They have a summer home, and they go there every year, and they get to travel. And
What other special pictures or keepsakes do you have from? You have a map of Sweden up here on your wall.
Uh-huh, that's Kenny's, and those candle holders are Kenny's. He got them from Sweden.
Would you say that it's important to you, Mr. Hagstrom, your Swedish heritage? Is that something you feel good about?
Yeah.
Yeah?
He still talks Swedish. He talks Swedish to Kenny. Kenny wants to keep up his Swedish, so he talks all the time. It's too bad. Maybe if you'd come tomorrow, you would have met him, hear him talk.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny would enjoy this.
This is your passport?
Yeah.
Passport picture. These passports are probably dirty.
Now, when you were... Your name is spelled N-I-L-S, Nils, or how do you spell it today? Do you spell it...
Well, of course, N-I-L-S, that was in Sweden.
And now, over here, you spell it with an E?
Yeah.
Why don't you read what it says on here, Mr. Hagstrom? What does it say on your... Read the whole thing in Swedish.
Well, of course, there's different languages there, in American, it's signature of the owner of the passport.
But can you read it in Swedish? What it says in? Why don't you go ahead and read the Swedish?
Yeah, well, it says, of course, in Swedish a little too, but.
That's how he looked when he came.
Mm-hmm. That's a picture of you when you were 17 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, just about.
Mm-hmm. So you've saved that all these years.
It's really his passport.
But that won't do an a good life. I told you that I have to have it written.
That's a good keepsake to have, isn't that? Do you have any expressions or prayers or songs or anything that you know, any favorite expression that you have in Swedish? I'd like to hear you speak a little Swedish if you would. Is there anything you'd like to say in Swedish to show your heritage? Anything you have memorized or
tell kissy cut and swan so long.
Well,
that's cute.
Okay, go ahead. What is that?
Så problem, jag bättre från på svenska då. Sing a Swedish song. What should I sing? Hälsa dem där hemma. Hälsa far och mor.
We have those records.
Well, what is that song?
It says hello.
Hälsa gröna hagen. Hälsa
Lilla Brewer. That's
om jag hade vingar. Flyger jag med dig.
It's a say hello to mother, father, say hello to the brothers, say hello to sweet, And if I had wings of a bird, I would fly back.
I would fly back to Sweden. Mm-hmm. That's a song that immigrant people would sing.
It's a beautiful song, and they just love it. And
is that a very popular song among the Swedish
immigrants?
So you still have a strong feeling for Sweden, Mr. Hagström?
No, I don't.
You don't think? How do you feel about Sweden today?
Well, I feel this way. Sweden is Sweden. And the United States is my home.
How do you feel about having immigrated all those years ago? Do you think that was a good thing in your life?
Yeah.
Well, he still has a very wonderful memory. He remembers everything he
did. I didn't like the idea that my dad had 10 children at first. And at his age, go and marry a woman 30 years younger. I was against that, even if I was small. When he couldn't take care of what he had and was satisfied, that's why.
Well, that's another story.
Well, that's why the first marriage had against him, that he should remarry again. Mm-hmm. When the rest of it wasn't grown up, I was 5, and my youngest sister was 3, and we needed more of his help than his stepmother could ever have done. So otherwise, everything is fine. Mm-hmm. He was a lazy kind.
Well, that's all right.
Huh? Well, I would say he was lazy. He wasn't active like I am. I'm 76 and I've worked hard in all my life and still able to take care of my daughter's place. Her husband died, you know. He died when the kids were small.
So you help your daughter?
Oh, with money and...
Mm-hmm. And Nels, remember, that's all recorded.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm not ashamed of that. She knows that.
So do you think you'll ever go to Sweden now, Mr. Hagström?
Never in God's world. No, I'll tell you that is a problem. She is can't walk so good, and I can't walk so good, and it's pretty expensive to hire a taxi.
Mm-hmm. But you remember Sweden?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I don't. As far as Sweden goes, I can't brag too much about it. I never had an opportunity to go swimming or go fishing. I was busy on the farm, and I loved that. I loved the horses.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, I guess we'll stop the interview and say thank you very much.
Yeah. Did I do pretty good?